Some seasonal and second homeowners packed up and headed north in the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. They were looking for refuge of sparsely populated vacation towns far away from crowded cities. Now, as Danielle Kading reports, some are considering whether to turn their temporary reprieve into permanent homes.
The leaves are just beginning to turn as the wind whips across the waters of Manitouish Lake. The sun is warm and a couple anglers sit by the dock, but there's little sign of anyone else at the Chippewa Retreat Resort in Manitouish waters. Looking toward the lake, Kathy Schmitz says it's easy to see why people are moving out of the city to a place like this.
To sit out on a gorgeous dock like this, with the trees blowing, have your laptop with you or your cell phone and be able to work. This is your office.
The economic development director for Vilas County has been getting calls since March from people thinking about moving north due to the pandemic. Just a half hour away, Kat Bramley and her husband, Jared Davis, have moved from Chicago to Minocqua in neighboring Oneida County. Both 34, the two lived in the city to pursue careers as actors. They always planned to move away someday, but she says they were scraping gigs together when the virus shut everything down.
So the pandemic, definitely sped up leaving the city and pushed us in a direction that we had never really anticipated, but are really excited about now.
Bramley and Davis were able to find jobs in a duplex that has way more space than their old one-bedroom apartment in the city. Right now, the market for home sales in the area is red hot, according to Jim Milady. He's a broker for Coldwell Banker that covers seven counties in northern Wisconsin.
April and May were very poor because of COVID. Really, we were selling homes, but not yet closing on them. And then June, July, and August have been just unbelievable.
He says they sold more homes in August than July 2007 before the housing bubble burst. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says home sales are up more than 8% in Oneida County. In nearby Vilas County, sales are up 22% so far this year. Bramley says she and her husband were drawn to the area because of the lower cost of living, the slower pace, and the beauty of the place. Rural sociologist Ben Winchester with the University of Minnesota Extension says those reasons have been driving people to move to rural areas long before the pandemic.
There has been a regular influx of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s moving to just about every rural county in the country.
Rural areas may be gaining retirees or younger couples like Bramley and Davis, but two-thirds of Wisconsin's rural counties lost population between 2010 and 2018. That's according to a report released earlier this year by research firm Forward Analytics. Director Dale Knapp says some studies show more people will be working remotely when the pandemic is over. He says that could be an opportunity for some rural counties.
People don't make these residential decisions lightly. Just because now you're able to work remotely doesn't mean that you immediately pack your bags and move.
Both Knapp and Winchester say it's too early to tell what role the pandemic may be having on movement to rural areas. The most recent report from the Federal Communications Commission shows access to high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin is improving, which could help people who want to work remotely in areas like Vilas County. The move may be permanent for some, while others will return to their primary home in the city once the pandemic is over. Kat Bramley says she's not sure if Minocqua will be their forever home.
We're just feeling grateful to be in a beautiful place with an easy pace.
But her husband, Jared, seems pretty sold on staying.
I was just looking out over the water and the leaves changing, so you're going to have to drag me away kicking and screaming, I think.
Kat agrees they've loved it this summer, but she expects winter in northern Wisconsin to be an entirely different experience. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Central Time. In 1863, there was a pandemic that swept through central Wisconsin and killed nearly 10% of a Native American encampment near Stevens Point. About 100 people were laid to rest on a property that's now home to the UW-Stevens Point campus. Over the years, the people buried there have largely been forgotten. Now, a group of activists is trying to get the university to publicly recognize the site. Rob Menser is Wisconsin Public Radio's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks, Keeley.
Can you give us a visual? Where on campus is this burial site?
So this is really on the site of a building called Old Main, which is the oldest building on the UWSP campus and one of the sort of grand central buildings in the of the place. It has administrative offices and classrooms in there, and it's this big old imposing building. And the historians say that the campsite was essentially right there, and many of the burials took place sort of on that lot.
And there's no marker, no sort of acknowledgement or reminder that these graves exist?
There isn't, and it really is not known by locals even. There have been a few times when people have been sort of reminded of this history. In the 1930s, there are some newspaper articles that discussed finding human remains on the site when they were doing some construction there. But for the most part, students have crossed through this land, and it's not recognized in any way, and it's really has not been discussed historically.
Who's asking, who's pushing for the university to acknowledge this?
So I spoke to a woman named Karen Ann Hoffman, who is a member of the Oneida Nation, who's an artist, a nationally renowned artist for Iroquois raised beadwork. She is probably central to this effort, and she's working as well with an anthropology professor emeritus named Ray Reeser, who since 2016, those two have been involved in a push for this.
Well, and you mentioned Karen Ann Hoffman. Last week, she and about a dozen other people met on campus to write letters of support for the memorial project. Here's what she had to say.
I think the timing for this is absolutely now. I think the parallels between the epidemic that those people suffered in the 1860s and the COVID situation that we have now is undeniable.
Rob, how much momentum is there behind this push, especially given the circumstances?
Well, there is certainly some momentum. And so what I covered last week was a letter writing event that was meant to sort of rally community support. And they were outdoors behind this nonprofit in Stevens Point, and folks wrote letters of support, and they're going to be collecting those from others and online as well. And there is certainly community support for this. The administration at UW-Stevens Point has been more or less supportive of this. But the issue is this takes money, what they're asking. And so that is something that would need to be maybe part of the UW system budget or even the state budget line item. And it does require UW system approval. It's state land. So, you know, the activists that I talk to are hearing supportive words from a lot of people. But what they want is to translate that into some actual action on this.
We're talking with Rob Menzer, who's Wisconsin Public Radio's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. And we are talking about a push to acknowledge a Native American burial ground on the UW-Stevens Point campus. And thanks for the explanation about how UWSP is responding to the push. Rob, help us better understand what these activists actually want to see to acknowledge this burial site.
Right. No, this is important because there are different ways to do it, right? You could have just a simple marker or educational, I don't know, plaque. But what they're asking for is something more than that, is a memorial and something that would be permanent and, noticeable on that site. They're asking for a sculpture by a Native American artist that could be determined. You know, the Karen Anna Hoffman said she's an artist herself. She's not a sculptor. And she said, I'm not telling any artist what they need to do or what their artwork should look like. So there are plenty of questions around that. But that's what they really want. Is a Native American artist sculpted memorial that would in some way tell the story or capture or honor the lives of the people who lived on this place.
How important is it or what role is this push from specifically Native people in this situation when they're asking for a memorial? I mean, is this everybody? Is this something that is coming from Native communities? And how do we figure out how to respect their perspective?
Sure. Well, for example, the event that I attended to cover was mix. There were natives there and you know, white people as well, and other, just community members. And so, you know, I think that they're looking for support, not just only from the native community as such, but from any community member or people in central Wisconsin and beyond who support this idea. The, you know, the issue here is, you know, I guess I sort of touched on it. This is not something that is seen as particularly controversial, right? This mm-hmm. is something that is easy to say, yeah, we should, you know, this is a good idea. But there's just a gulf between sort of approving words and actually making this happen. So what they're hoping is that in the next budget cycle, they can actually translate this into action.
I mean, that's a lovely change of pace, I think, for us sometimes to think, well, there's a whole community of people with different perspectives who are actually agreeing on one side. And so they've written these letters that this would make sense and they'd like to see this. But what needs to happen now for anything to really happen?
Yeah, so it's state land, mm-hmm. and it belongs to the UW system. So that really is the key here, is for the UW Board of Regents to approve this as a project, and that has not happened. There is, you know, a state legislator in Stevens Point, Katrina Shankland, has been involved in trying to make the case to her folks in Madison, to her colleagues there. And so this is something that, these things take a long time, right? But I think that the expectation is that if this is going to move, it could be in 2021 that this could get approval.
And just so that we're clear and to talk a bit of history as we wrap up, help us understand what happened some 150 years ago that led to this in the first place.
Right. No, I think this is important to understand. So this was after, Wisconsin was being settled, and Wisconsin had become a state by this time, was being settled by Europeans. And so the group, this particular encampment who lived in the Stevens Point area in the 1860s, they could be characterized as refugees. This is not like their historic home, but there was a group of Menominee and Potawatomi Indians who had an encampment there, maybe as much as 1,000 people living there at that time, at the time when the scarlet fever sort of tore through that camp. Scarlet fever was a killer of a lot of people in the 19th century, but among Native Americans in particular, who did not have the same immunities to disease as Europeans, it was even worse. And so that is a parallel that Karen Ann Hoffman talked about, is in the same way that we have seen COVID-19 is deadlier among people of color for other reasons, mm-hmm. That there is a historical echo there. So, but yeah, this is not like their ancient historic land. They were refugees at the time in the 1860s, and they were just trying to find a place where they could live.
Yeah, important context. Rob, thank you so much for catching us up.
Well, thank you.
Rob Menser is Wisconsin Public Radio's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, with the first presidential debate in the books and a Supreme Court nominee made public, we are catching up on the week in Washington. And we're talking about clothing in politics. Our guest says clothes reveal how public figures want to tell their story, the version of themselves that they offer to the world. Plus, we're talking about insurance and we're taking your questions. Find out more tomorrow afternoon starting at 3:00 right here on the Ideas Network.